welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, I'm linking up with a man who is best known for his creative flair and artistry on the dance floor. He's from a town in China called Shengxi, and he recently made his transition from Shanghai to London to pursue his passion for dance. But knowing Carlos, I know there's a lot more to his creative freedom on the dance floor. He is fun and spiritually open for any adventure life throws at him. Carlos Gu, welcome to the Monday Mile podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Amy. Oh, that was so good. I was like, woo.
That was me.
I said spiritually free. Do you know what I am referring to when I say spiritually free?
It's like I'm just like free bird.
You are a free bird. And I experienced you being the freest of birds on a little holiday that we took to Morzine, snowboarding.
You need to pull me back now. Twerking, half naked and under the weather. Like, how cold was that? It was literally, I know that. Oh my God,
you literally. I think it was about -3. And for those people listening, I can confirm that Carlos Gu was the first man with his top off at the Folly Juice. And I'm not going to lie.
Am I the first one?
I really enjoyed it. And I took mine off as well.
Oh, you did it. Yeah, you did.
That was a great time.
Oh, I miss that.
Have you always been sort of a yes man to opportunity?
I think I am. You know, I think I always know what I wanted. Things I was little. I always want to listen to music. I always wanted to move. I always wanted to travel to Beijing to learn dancing. I want to move to Shanghai. I want to come to UK. All the decision, I want to do Ballroom Latin. I think all the decision that I made is all for myself, which I'm very lucky that my parents, especially my mum, she supported me 100%. I know, I think also, I don't know, I think I'm just lucky that I have those free, unlimited pressures. I don't care about results, I just do how I feel. I'm really a gut person, really intuition person, and believe how I feel. I always follow my heart.
That is such a gift to have, and I've been so lucky as a friend of a friend, to experience and share some of those moments. Like just this summer, seeing you get up and go and chase your dream, it's really beautiful to see. Take me back to your childhood in China, growing up. What was it like?
Well, I grew up in 90s, so, and a small town, like you said.
90s,
I know. Like you said, from Shanxi. Shanxi is a small town in China and in north of China, not far from Beijing. But when I say not far, it's like 500 miles away. Yeah,
yes.
China's huge.
That's like the distance of our country.
I know, it's literally that far. Growing up in the village, very free birds, you know. In the village, you know, I remember my grandma used to have a pig as well in the gardens.
So when we're saying village, we're talking like quite barren, basic, in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, yeah, exactly like that. It's end of the sun, it's under the mountain. It's right
beautiful.
Beneath of the mountain, actually, very nice. We have a river alongside of this village. And also, it's very undeveloped back then. But yeah. Now it's huge difference. Now it's completely changed. Grown up there, and then once I started dancing, I'm always listening to music. My mom was so frustrated about me when I was a kid because I wasn't good at school at all.
No?
Yeah, I wasn't at all.
What was your strongest subject?
Oh, I like history and geography.
Yeah, geography. I'm into my geography. Yeah. Not so much the history.
No, I like it. I like remember things. I like see the history. I like learning the scene and the history and the peoples. I think people, learning cities, learning culture is my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, mathematics wasn't. People say Chinese people are great in the mathematics. I'm terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that on myself. I suppose, when you look at history, there's a cultural element as well, which you can infuse with your dance. Was dancing a normal thing to do as a male growing up in China?
No.
Then how did you get into it?
You know what is funny about? That's because I always knew that I want to move. So every time when I listen to music, I just couldn't, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just moving and I like to perform. I remember when I was 4 years old and my mom's friend's daughter has a birthday party. I was the one performing on the stage. I had no idea what I was doing. But then my mom sent me to dance class and different type of dance class. And in China, because of how I think back then, the culture backwards, and for the parents, they don't understanding about singing things. They don't want the boy to learn dancing because they're afraid they might become girly. become sort of like a feminine leads in their own directions. So
it wasn't something that was supported.
No.
And has that changed?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think back now, changed a lot, but still. And it's not the subject people are wanting to talk about openly.
Yeah.
I think, of course, because of the cultures opening, the city, the times are changing, time are moving on, people are more bright and learning more. In the big city, I think much better, but when you're going back to the small town, I think they're still the same.
It's crazy how culturally different the UK and China are.
Oh, huge,
now,
hugely.
Now, still to this day, you sort of slowly adopted the transition to the UK. Take me back to when you were 15 years old, you're exploring your dance career and you're just dipping your toe into UK culture.
You know, it's a dream. As a ballroom and Latin dancer, especially for me as a Latin dancer, when I was young, 15 years old kid, it's a dream to travel to UK because when we were younger, I was only watching a video and DVD on screen, seeing people competing in UK, in Blackpool, in Bournemouth, in Royal Albert Hall. You know, we were like, I want to go there. So finally we got a chance. I had the UK, the London was everything we wanted. When you travel to UK, we were like, oh, we're going to London. Then we realized.
You even put the accent on it.
London, yeah. Then we realized, okay, we're actually in Surrey. We were spending like every time it's in Surrey, in Cheam, in Norbury. They have the most incredible dance studio in the area. And then we're so far from London. But that's a dream. And to see all the legends in dance studio and practice with them and having an opportunity to have lessons with those master, like people you only see from the video. Oh, that's a dream. I think that brought my desire even more, my fire for dancing even more, my passion for dancing. I feel, in that moment, I feel like I want to do ballroom Latin.
How would you describe yourself as a dancer?
I think I'm passionate, dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
Sophisticated.
Sophisticated.
Ooh. Sophisticated.
Yeah, you are.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, that transition happened quite quickly because 2 years ago you had a magic phone call. Is it the dream job?
It is. Because for dancer, especially for us ballroom Latin dancer, when you stop competing or retired, you just go back to coaching people, teaching and judging the competition. So your life is actually fading out through the highlights of the competing career. Given the opportunity to join Strictly, it's literally light up your life even more than where you're just competing, because competing was a huge, huge thing for us as a competitor. But join Strictly is like...
It's huge.
It's huge. You know what I mean? As a dancer, I can be able to join and be able to willing, be chosen on the show. That's lucky.
Why do you think you were chosen? What makes you different
Because I'm too fab.
Every other Latin and ballroom dancer. Because to be chosen from China to move all the way to the UK.
All the way.
It's a really big move. To be scouted, to be found, that in itself.
Oh, to be found, they found the gold. Oh my, that's, I think it's just two directions. I think for me, I had this idea. I watched Strictly for quite a long time, not in the beginning because I didn't know that. So I watched the show, I liked the show. I've literally imagined myself, I want to be on that show one day, this couple of years ago. Then receiving the call from the producer and production team, I was like, that's gonna happen. It's going to happen. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna move to, no matter what, I'm gonna move to UK. I'm gonna do this job because it's a job that I always wanted.
So taking that huge step, accepting Strictly, moving to London, would you say you found yourself in a different light?
You know what, actually, very interesting when you brought up that I somehow feel that I landed a home that I've been dreamed of, the home that I've been see myself in past life, in the future. So I read a line from a poem a long time ago, an American writer. He lived in Paris for a few years. He said, America is my country, but I know Paris is my hometown. I felt exactly the same for London. I felt like China is my country. I'm proud to be Chinese. I loved everything in my country. I felt my heart, it belongs to here. That's also the reason I moved here. I take Strictly, you know, all of that. I just feel that's the place I want to be and that's the place where I belong.
Talk to me about your connection with London, because I know you've traveled quite a bit with your past career and even, you know, for holiday. You're a man that gets about. You've seen different places, you've been to different cities. What is it that London has that's given you that connection?
It's weird. I've been asking this question for a few times, actually. But sometimes I feel like even it's the smells. It's the people. It's the accent. Genuinely.
Do you like my accent?
Oh, you got a delicious accent, darling.
Thank you.
It's something that I couldn't put it in up to the words. It just, I like the season changing. Interestingly, you know, when I get off the plane in UK, yeah. I love the smells in the airports.
Yeah.
Like, the smell is so much better than any other countries. I have no idea why.
Really?
I know. I just like, oh, I come back. Oh, that's the smell I love.
That's a serious claim. Our airports smell better than any airport in the rest of the world.
For me, personally, yes.
I know what you mean, though, because I won't name any countries, but there's many countries I've been to, and you land and you're like, ooh, it smells a bit funny.
Yeah, exactly.
So does it smell like home when you land on that tarmac and it's drizzly and windy and rainy? You don't mind that?
But that actually is as important as the sun in, as the beauty, as the green. You know, that's balance, that's life. You know, we have to take everything. We can't just embrace the good part and not the bad part. Then the life is not fulfilled.
It's so true, because it makes you then appreciate days like today more so than any other day.
Exactly.
Because it feels so special, because yesterday it was pouring down,
yeah,
and it was windy, and that grey makes you appreciate the
exactly
light.
Exactly.
Spiritually, when it comes to yourself as a gay man, have you found it easier to sort of fit in to
who
society?
Who said I'm a gay man? Am I a gay man? Oh yeah, I am.
I mean, okay. We did go husband hunting the other day.
Oh, so. We did. I think personally, because as a gay man in China and as a gay man in UK or in Western country, is completely different scenario. You have a different background. And I think it's okay for being a gay man on your own, privately, and do your own stuff in China. Nobody really bothers you.
Yeah.
And nobody really care. But you can't really freely express yourself in public area.
Okay.
That's, you know, especially, you know, people would judging you.
Yeah.
And people would see you in a different perspectives. Sometimes you would worry yourself because you don't know if you come out to your parents, how your family would react on the idea of you being a gay, and you don't know how the friends of the family of your parents, they how they see them. So it's huge change, and huge things are not easily to be chained. Everything just so chained up, so closed up. So it's hard for my parents, my generation, for them to understand into being a gay. What's the idea of being a gay? Is being gay is okay, actually. It's normal. Yeah. It's as normal as being straight.
And moving here, did it enable you to express that part of yourself?
Oh, much more. I think that's also one of the reasons supported me that I want to move to here. It's just I can really speak up for myself, especially not only in my private life, but also in public, because I know doing Strictly, I will be in public. I will be on telly. I will be in TV. In China, you can't do that. If people who's working on telly or people working on any telly stuff, you can't claim that yourself are homosexual.
So it's given you a huge platform to just be you and share.
Exactly, share my story.
And I think actually, it's the fact that you haven't had to share who you are because you are who you are, and it doesn't matter here.
Exactly, it doesn't matter.
Does it feel like that completely and wholly, or is there still an element of, oh, he's gay?
I think I never really opened up to talk about my sexuality, because sometimes I feel like you should easily know who I am because by how I behave. That's easy. If you don't see who I am, then you're not on the same channel with me.
So, I'm on your channel. On your channel.
But yet, the very important reason for me wanting to talk about it openly in the public is because I want helping those Asian kids in their Asian family. Because if nobody's really going to talk about it as an example, then how are they going to have idea to survive in their childhood, in their youth, in their lifetime? Because they don't know what's happening.
Do you think now, being comfortable wholly and solely with who you are in the UK, would give you the ability to go back and be a recognisable face in the media in China who is gay, or would it be a total shutdown?
I don't think it would work, because it's a huge different cultural background.
Yeah.
So if I'm a teacher, if I'm teaching in a school, if I'm working in the public department, in terms of doctor, especially teachers in the school, if I am openly gay in the school, that I wouldn't be able to work in the school because all the parents are thinking, oh, this teacher's gay, we can't have him. You wouldn't be able to work in the school and teaching kids.
That's quite scary in a way.
It's very scary.
So by moving here, you must feel emotionally and physically completely different because you're free to be you. In the last 2 years, discovering more of you.
Absolutely. You know, I feel like I spiritually can really connect to my inner self, my deeper self. I can really put my soul and my body and my brain into one piece. Before in China, I still being myself. I worry about what if I say some things too opened up, what other people would think.
Yeah.
And I can't really discuss on the social medias because other people are watching. Like if saying I'm a competitor in China, I'm competing, I'm a champion, but I can't really open up to talk about as a gay man, how I feel, how I experienced, how actually I accepting myself make my dancing even better.
I was gonna say, has it positively impacted your creative flair on the dance floor?
Oh, absolutely, that's for sure.
What have been the changes that you've noticed within?
I think that was a few years ago, not only from now. It's like because my teacher, he's nighttime world champion, he's gay. A lot of world champions are gay, you know, the males dancers. So I think the period of time that I'm very restrained, I'm very limited, my mind is not, I don't have a creation at all. I just do what teacher told me to do, you know. I just do all the exercises, all the practice. I don't feel it. I don't feel the music. I don't feel myself. Then there's the time that I starting to accepting myself, who I am, especially my sexuality, is part of me, it's a huge part of me, yeah? So I started accepting that part of me, then I become more, I embraced a lot of the feminine energy of myself. So I started really expressing the dancing in the way that I want.
But you still, so as an onlooker, I think the way that you dance is very fiery and passionate.
Yeah.
So how does that feminine element intertwine with that? Because it looks like you've just absolutely hit the balance on the head because there's elegance and flair, yet fire, the fire of a man.
Oh, you know what you're doing, don't you? That's amazing. Actually, that's a good point.
Because feminine could be seen as maybe like weak or empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Not for every case, obviously, know, but you're not that.
No, for me, I think feminine is softness.
Okay.
Because men has to be strong, you know, we're strong, we're fire, we're energetic. With myself, because I'm such different style of the dancing with most of the men in this industry, I'm very delicate. I'm very aware of how my hand is moving. How am I presenting myself with my partner as a female or male? So I'm very embracing the softness. I'm very embracing the intimacy that I have with myself. I'm not afraid to touch myself. I'm not afraid to touch my partner softly, not to show I'm a man. Oh, I'm going to dance with you. You're a woman, I'm a man. Not showing how powerful that I am, but showing that how soft and how able to, I'm sharing my moment with another person. That's my concept, my goal. And I think being gay, that's actually so helpful. Otherwise, you too, macho.
In the way that you're explaining it, it's like there's a higher power of connectivity with your partner.
Oh, yeah.
Less dominance and more feeling.
Yeah, and sharing.
So if you were to hold my hand right now, give me an example of how you would hold my hand if we were dancing together.
Look.
So it's soft.
It's like you can feel my soul and my love. Not I'm trying to grab you. It's just too physical. I think dancing in every form of art is a connection. It's a conversations. It's interaction of two souls and two minds and two physical bodies. It's
nice.
Not just moving physical. It's like we're feeling each other in the different level of the emotions.
Yeah, the emotional connectivity. I feel it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to want to dance with you on Strictly next year.
Oh, they better be.
You've just sold your soul. I want to dance with you. Not necessarily on Strictly, but as soon as we finish this podcast.
We're gonna go do the salsa.
Little salsa. Salsa night out has been on the cards for a very long time.
I know.
But hey, we had a good dance in the scene. I don't think it was in the form of salsa.
But you wasn't really following me in though.
No.
Were dancing on your own rhythm.
I definitely was.
Yeah, which is not what we want. Sometimes as a leader, you just have to follow us.
Okay, I will learn. Now, this year has been a little bit different for you. On the biggest television show in our country, maybe many would consider it a bit of a blow. You didn't get a partner, mm-hmm. and your first 2 years you did. Was that hard to take?
Yeah, I would say yes, it was. Because I was so lucky to be given two incredible partners, Molly and Angela. And we had a great, great time. We had an amazing time. I'm so proud of both of them, yeah? So on the third year, I was expecting that, okay, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to give more. I'm a newest support in the pros in the group. So yeah. I'm ready to give more.
Do you think it was wrong to expect?
Yeah, of course. I think that's not a bad thing. When the things happen unexpectedly, because we shouldn't have expectations.
Yeah.
But I think that's also the lesson we need to learn. Not having expectations needs to be practiced. Not because how brilliant you were and how many great time you had that are going to keep you rolling. Mm. So life is uncertain.
It really is,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But in terms of it being a bit of a blow, not only for you, but for the public, because you're the people's champ. People love you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
How have you dealt with it and reframed this sort of period of time? Because obviously you have got a little more time on your hands now.
Yeah. But also I'm still being part of the shows. I'm still doing the music act. I'm still doing some of the group numbers. You know, later on, I think we will have more stuff to do. Of course, because that you are not in the competition, so you have more free time. I think I'm just using my time wisely. We're going to husband hunting, you know.
Okay.
And we're going to improving our skills and learning. I think I'm a kind of person, I love learning.
Okay, what are we learning, Carlos?
We're learning, first, you know, I'm learning tennis. You know, my tennis skill is quite going.
It's strong,
you know. And I've just trying to mind myself. I'm trying to, because I think when the season started, when you're busy, your life, your mind is literally on fire, on twirling. You never really had opportunity to really relax in terms of not doing nothing, but relax of listening to your body, to your mind, and to really nurturing yourself peacefully. I think I really need that this year. I think this is a good opportunity for me to doing that too, because through that, I think also I can learn something about myself that I didn't know before.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we all often end up on this hamster wheel of life, and especially with your job, it is intense, it is fast paced, and it changes every single week. So
yeah.
You've got to be on your toes all the time.
Yeah.
But then when we have something like that removed and we have a void of time, well, not necessarily even a void, but more time, we sometimes initially, you go to critique yourself, your self-worth, your purpose, because we're doers.
Yeah.
But to so quickly find that within, that you can seek enjoyment in this space, mm-hmm. is quite a skill set in self-awareness.
Mm, I think it requires a lot of the self-confidence as well, because I mean, in any other jobs, so sometimes the decision made not necessarily is personal.
No.
It's just because of the different perspective, the different team, because we all want the show looks great. We all want this company, this production, this everything, whatever you do, we want them good. So nothing really personal. I think as long as you started to understand that some of the decisions aren't personal to you. So
yeah.
I think you will be able to live on with it.
So for someone that maybe has had a decision taken out of their hands, that's tuning yeah. in, listening to this podcast, that's experienced, I suppose it's a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, oh, for
you,
sure.
You
yeah.
didn't expect it. What would you say to someone? What would be your advice?
I would say, like, that's exactly what I told myself through the past few weeks. When the one door's closed, temporarily,
yeah.
there's another window open for you. And also, when something's not happening at a moment in time, and look out, there's so many things that's happening, and life's still beautiful, and nobody's dying, and you had a healthy, beautiful life, and go out and look out, and you'll find, oh wow, the life is not only what I'm doing now, but life has so many other opportunities, other things to do. Because sometimes what trapped ourselves is our mind. It's just how open ourselves are that how the different world we will see.
It's so true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much of the time we spend in the vortex of constantly chasing the next thing.
Yeah.
But if you allow no space, there is no room for growth.
Exactly.
You're constantly on somebody else's rabbit hunt. It's like boom, ba boom, ba boom.
Exactly.
So to have this time, even today, to walk with you, to have this sunshine, to have this moment to reflect and think,
yeah,
it's a gift.
It is gifts.
But you do have something very big coming up.
Yeah.
Amy Dowden is back on Strictly.
Amy Dowden's back on.
And you are going on tour.
We are going on tour, I know. Oh my God.
Can I go and watch?
You are the VIP guest, darling.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
First of April, you invited.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't wait. This is a huge project we created between both of us. It's a reborn. Like you said, the whole conversation we had, I feel like moving to UK, accepting a new job and doing a complete new stuff and meeting new people in my life, I feel like I landed at home. I feel like I reborn. I've shaped myself in a different form. I really find different myself. I really find different spirits of myself by meeting different people, by living in a different environment.
What can we expect? Can you give us a little sneak peek of, you know, the BTS of Reborn? What can we expect, Carlos?
Through this, we know we're going to have a lot of a dramatic story. It's going to be a dramatic emotional show. Because also with Amy's concept, Reborn, she's like a perfect example of the Reborn and having a Crohn's disease, and she battled so long and so many years. And last year, she had a cancer. And she never give up. And she's great, great example for everybody, like myself. And she never give up and she survived. And also you can see the passion, the desire of the love of the dancing inside of her to capture her, go through all the chemos, all the negativities, you know? So she's a great example of the Reborn. So we're gonna create something really cool. I'm really, really looking for. I can't wait to let you guys to see it. It's gonna be a great show. The dancing level gonna be exquisite.
Yeah.
It's gonna be, you know me.
I know. I felt that touch. Yeah. All these listeners are gonna be so jealous. I had the gentle handhold. I really feel such a warmth of positivity when you speak about that. I think it's gonna channel living life to its fullest. And I think you are doing that.
I am right now. Yeah, that's my goal.
And Carlos, of course, we are on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. So we like to ask all of our guests, do you like a Monday?
Oh, wow. I've never been asked this question. Do I like Monday? I think I love Monday. When I was a kid, I love Monday going into school.
You love Monday going to school?
I am.
I did not. I dreaded Monday because I loved the Sunday.
The Sunday is great, but Sunday is preparation for Monday.
It's true. I love Monday.
I love working. You know, even though some people, they don't work on Monday, but Monday is like start of the week. Monday is sort of like symbol of start of experience, some new challenges. And Monday symbolized a start of life. We want to walk into the Monday. And we want to walk in the Monday with Monday Miles and with Amy Fuller.
With a light stride on our steps, sunshine. If only it was like this every single time we walked tomorrow. And lastly, Carlos, do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners?
I have. Ooh, got me a bit emotional. I think the things I believe is everything happened for a reason, and do believe in yourself. Even when people are telling you you can't, you have to always support yourself because you are the only one that will love yourself forever.
That is so strong. Carlos Gu, thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. The audio drops at 12 a.m. every single Monday morning for the early risers. Carlos, you are an inspiration.
Thank you so much for
joining us here in beautiful Holland Park. I think we've got a dance to do.
Yeah, we've got a dance to do.
Yeah. Money Mile listeners, it's a wrap. Have an absolutely wicked week.